custom has brought us to the point of this first Sunday after Labor Day, as in many Unitarian Universalist congregations across the country, to hold a service of ingathering, what is an unofficial homecoming after the winds of summer, which we spoke of, carried us from point to point and then back here again. Gathering to celebrate the religious home that both nurtures and challenges us all, that protects us in times of trouble and occasionally even provokes us, which enlightens us and always engages the fullness of our being. We bring with us small tokens of our travels, whether they are travels that have taken us near or far, maybe a shell put in a pocket on a distant ocean beach, or a stone gathered in the desert out west, or a bit of water from a favorite swimming hole. And we mingle them all together, bringing those sources of renewal and healing that we have discovered in other places back into this place, where others will draw upon them too. One of the things that I wanted to share as I began this part of the service is a short piece which may be familiar to some of you from Garrison Keillor that symbolizes something that I think a lot of our churches represent, and hopefully that this one in particular might. Just simply the words spoken during the time of the candle lighting and the recognition of what this place has meant to people, as the Druckers talked about making their move to New Hampshire, seems all the more fitting to include this short bit of a story that Garrison Keillor wrote. After sixth grade, I left my little country school and rode the bus into Lake Wobegon High in town, where Mr. Detman was the principal, a man who looked as if wild hogs were after him and a giant icicle hung over his head. Worry ate at Mr. Detman. He yelled at us when we ran downstairs, believing we would fall and break our necks and die on the landing. He imagined pupils choking on food and wouldn't allow meat in the lunchroom unless it was ground up. But he had his own special winter fear, that a blizzard would sweep in and school buses would be marooned on the roads and the children would perish. So in October, he announced that each pupil who lived in the country would be assigned a storm home. If a blizzard struck during school, we would go to our storm homes. Mine was the Klotkys, an old couple who lived in a little green cottage near the lake. She kept a rock garden on the lakeside with terraces of alyssum and pansies, petunias, moss roses, rising to a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and around her feet, a bed of marigolds. It was a magical garden, this one, perfectly arranged, and the ivy on the trellis seemed to move up in formation, and platoons of asters and irises along the drive, and three cast-iron deer grazed in the front yard. It looked like the home of a kindly old couple that the children lost in the forest suddenly came upon in a clearing, and to know how lucky they were to be in a story that should have a happy ending. That was how I felt about the Klotkys, and I got their name on a slip of paper and walked by their house and inspected it, though my family might have wondered about my assignment to a Catholic home, had they known. We were suspicious of Catholics, enough to wonder if perhaps the Pope had ordered them to take in little Protestant children during blizzards, make them say the rosary for their suppers. But no, not me. I imagine that the Klotkys had personally chosen me as their storm child because they liked me. Him, they told Mr. Detman. In the event of a blizzard, we want that boy. The skinny one with the thick glasses. No blizzard came during school hours that year. All the storms were convenient evening or weekend ones. So I never got to stay with the Klotkys, but they were often in my thoughts, and they grew large in my imagination, my storm home. Blizzards aren't the only storms. and not the worst by any means. I could imagine worse things. If the worst should come, I would go to the Clockys and knock on their door. Hello, I'd say. I'm your storm child. Oh, I know, they'd say. We were wondering when you'd come. It's good to see you. Would you like hot chocolate and an oatmeal cookie? And we'd sit at the kitchen table. Looks like this storm's gonna last a while. Mm-hmm. Terrible storm. They say it'll get worse before it stops. I pray for anyone out in it. Yes. But we're so glad to have you. I can't tell you. Carl, come down here. See who's here. Is it the storm child? Yes. Himself. In the flesh. In this storm home that sits on Higby Road, we each take a turn being the ones who come through the doors in need of shelter and safety, and we each are asked in time to be the ones who throw open the door, readying the guest room, so to speak, and baking the oatmeal cookies. It's the only way that it ever really could work. It's the only way that it has worked for all these years, for all the people that have called this place their congregation. As Keeler observed, blizzards aren't the only storms and not the worst by any means. I know I don't have to remind any of you of that. Without knowing most of your stories completely, I can safely assure and assume that you've made it through plenty of storms together. And for a few of you, I can only guess the storms might be raging at this very hour inside. If so, I'm glad that you have wandered in here this morning to this storm home. If you're here for the very first time today, welcome. I hope you will stick around. Have a cookie. Come back next week. And if you've been in the pews since the Eisenhower administration, God bless you. You've done a great job. The rest of you stand by for your assignments for storm children. They may not come to the door with a letter of introduction from the principal, so we have to pay a little closer attention to recognize them. They could be a friend of 15 years or a stranger that you meet on the way to the car after the service. Whoever you are, whatever part you might play in this wonderful story of this congregation, welcome to you. Welcome home.